People of God, we're going to hear God's word. We're particularly going to focus on Jesus teaching us to pray this week. So it would be appropriate to open with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of prayer. I pray that today your Holy Spirit would use my words and open our hearts so that we may receive the gift of prayer that Jesus gives to us and so that we may learn from him how to pray. In his name, amen. People of God, we are doing a series of sermons at the moment, and we started last week with the idea of being L-plate disciples, learning from Jesus. And I just want to refresh in your mind that idea of being an L-plater and learning to drive. Maybe you've been there, or maybe you have taught one of your children or someone else's children how to drive. Mitch, when you think about being an L-plate driver, the first time you got in the car and drove, who was it with? It was with your mum, yep. And what were your feelings? What was it like?
I was a bit nervous.
Yep.
But I was also like ready to go, get into it.
Nervous but ready to go?
Yeah.
Why were you nervous?
Because you sit in the car, but it's still an unknown.
Okay, it's unknown. It's scary, a bit scary, someone said to me. Especially when you first get on the freeway and there's kind of trucks going past and they're much bigger than you and bigger than your car. It's a bit daunting. Here's a thought, what if I get it wrong? What's gonna happen? Someone might get hurt. Someone might actually even get seriously hurt or die, right? So it's a big thing. You know, prayer is a bit like that, I think, for Christians. I think that prayer, the topic of prayer, is a bit scary and a bit daunting. It can be really exciting, but it's also like this thought of, what if I get it wrong? What, you know, I'm stepping into the presence of the Holy God here when I pray. What if I don't know how to say it? What if I get it wrong? Just a quick straw poll. Please raise your hand if you are completely satisfied with your prayer life. My hand is also firmly down. That's about what I thought. 100% of us in this room are not completely satisfied, or else we're not too proud to admit it. Okay, converse question. Raise your hand if you would like to be better at prayer, to spend more time in prayer, to be more committed in prayer. Yep, pretty much everyone. That's great. We are going to learn from Jesus today. In the Gospel of Luke, the other version of Jesus teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And what does Jesus do? Does he open his mouth and say, I am going to give you proven practical principles for powerful prayer? No, he does not. Does he say, here are seven super steps to speaking to the Supreme Being? Once again, you know the answer. No. Jesus doesn't give principles for prayer. He doesn't give kind of reasons for prayer. He doesn't hand them in the metaphor of the L-plate driver. He doesn't hand them the car manual, the service manual, and say, here, this will teach you how to drive. What does Jesus do? He gives them a prayer. We learn to drive by driving with an instructor. As babies, we learn to speak by speaking, by making sounds and having some sounds reinforced and having meaning attached to them, a mysterious process. We learn to pray by praying. And Jesus knows that the best way to help us into a life of prayer is to give us a prayer. Not to give us those powerful, practical principles for prayer or anything like that, but to give us the gift of his very own prayer. Now, prayer is a massive topic, and many books have been written on prayer, some of them with titles somewhat similar to my first two suggestions, and that's okay, because there are good principles, and there are things that can teach us and help us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer itself is a massive topic, and I know that I have bitten off more than I can chew, and in today's sermon, I'm going to basically focus on two words. Okay, maybe the first line of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, Jesus gives us an unexpected gift as he gives us the Lord's Prayer. So imagine that the disciples have come to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And this is what Jesus responds. Now, there are a couple, probably more, but two that really stand out to me, a couple of massive surprises in the Lord's Prayer. Can anyone have a guess as to what it might be that is unexpected when you think that this is the prayer of Jesus himself? What are the surprises in the Lord's Prayer? James, you've kind of hit the nail there. Jesus prays, forgive us our sins. Now, what's strange or surprising about that? Come on, you know the answer to this. What?
Jesus
doesn't have any sins. Why would Jesus need to pray, forgive us our sins? But this is his prayer. This is the prayer that he prays and gives to his disciples. This is incredibly surprising. It's the great prayer exchange. Jesus prays in the Lord's Prayer as if he were us. And he invites us to pray in the Lord's Prayer as if we were him. Think about that. What an amazing gift of grace that is to us. Jesus kind of swaps identities with us. He prays as if he were us, and he invites us to pray as if we were him. In other words, we can approach the Heavenly Father as confidently as Jesus can. That's the gift that Jesus invites and gives to us in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, you can come into the presence of the Holy God of the universe just like I would, with absolute confidence. Our Father, forgive us our sins. All of those other words. The gift of the Lord's Prayer and the very place that prayer starts is the gift of a trusting relationship and conversational prayer with the God who created the entire universe, with the Holy One who it's meant to be death to approach. That is really surprising. But hang on, there is a detour here. Danger, detour. Interlude on an objection, and it goes like this. Our Father, really? Couldn't Jesus have come up with a better title or metaphor for God than that? In this day and age, don't many people have a really fraught and difficult relationship with their Father? There are fathers out there who are absent. Fathers who don't pay much attention to their kids. Fathers who may be even abusive. How can we have a trusting relationship with someone who is titled Father? Interestingly, very interestingly, I think Jesus knew, well, I know that Jesus knows the state of humanity, and he, I think, foresaw that this objection would be made. And his response is found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. It goes like this. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? In the original Greek, that verse actually says, so if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? Jesus knows that earthly parents are not perfect. We live in a world that is broken by sin, and we as parents and fathers get it wrong a lot of the time. Now, who's a parent? Yep, I know who you are, but put your hand up anyway. Just stay engaged. Jess, I'm going to pick on you. What kind of things would you do and sacrifice for your kids so that they can have good things? Sleep, Excellent. Well, not excellent, but yes, that's great. And any other parents, what kind of things have you laid on the line or put down for the sake of your children? Finances, yep. Time, yep. Time, Nick's nodding his head.
Energy.
Pretty much as a parent, you put your life on the line for your children, don't you? Now, here's the thing. As Jesus says, opens the Lord's Prayer with the gift of a relationship as a child of God, and he says, let's address God as our Father. Your impulse as a parent to love and to do good things for your kids is the tiniest, merest possible glimpse of the love and compassion that the Heavenly Father has for you. So yes, there are fathers who are flawed, but all of the good impulses that you as a parent feel for your children, those are a reflection of the depth of the love that the Heavenly Father has for you. That parental impulse to love your kids, it's a glimpse of God's perfect love for us. The parent or the adult in your life who showed you what love meant, who showed you commitment, might not have been a parent, it might have been another mentor or someone like that. That's a tiny glimpse of God's deep and abiding love for you. So we'll try and get back on track now. I thought that that objection might be in your head. Certainly was in mine. I had a good and have a good relationship with my dad, but I know that not everyone does. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us the gift of a trusting relationship. God wants to converse with us as friends. Now, think about this. What does a relationship look like? Imagine I come home to my wife after a long day and the conversation goes like this. Hi, honey, when's dinner ready? What are we eating? Have you washed my clothes? Can you please put them in the washing machine if you haven't done so already? Why is our bedroom not tidy? I'd really like it if you would tidy our bedroom. At what point do you think Yvette is going to say, hang on, I don't want a list of demands. I don't want a list of things that I have to do for you. I just want to sit down and spend time with you, okay? I just want to hang out. Give me a break on all the requests, please. This is what communication looks like in a good relationship, is that you actually want to hang out with each other. You want to spend time together. And so Jesus is saying that our Heavenly Father is not just a vending machine for good things, and if we put the coins of prayer into that vending machine, then out will come all of the lovely spiritual snacks that we really need to keep us going. God is not a computer program where you need to put the right code in order to get the right response or right reply. God is like our Father. Last night, really late at night, one of my children came in and said, I can't sleep. So I got up and we hung out and we talked. And we talked for a long time. And it was good. We didn't solve anything. And she didn't ask me anything. And I didn't fix anything. We were just together. And that's what God wants to do with us. And Jesus encourages us with these words, Matthew 6, verse 7. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Prayer is not just a list of requests. It's a two-way, dynamic, communicative relationship. God knows our needs, and he not only knows them, but he wants to provide for them. In Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33, we read, so don't worry about these things, food and drink and clothes, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. God doesn't need a list of requests. Mercy, he knows what you need. And he wants to give you not only good things, but better things than you could ever imagine or ask for yourself. Our Father, the one who is in the heavenly realms, the one who is not bound by space or time or limitations of finances or sinfulness or broken relationship. Our Father, the one who is in the heavenly realms, loves us. He wants to hang out with you. That's where prayer begins. Well, given the short survey that I did at the very start of the sermon, I want to make a few remarks about car park driving. I remember the first time that Bethany drove as an L-plater. We found a nearly deserted car park and we drove the car around. She was in the driver's seat. It was really scary for me. It was scary for her. There were cars. We thought we might crash into them at points. And we drove really slowly. And I remember the first time that we reached 20 kilometers an hour. And Bethany was going, wow, 20 k's an hour. That's awesome. Well, now she drives on the freeway. She's a P-plater. She drives by herself. Maybe learning to pray is a bit like that. God doesn't put us in a Ferrari on a racetrack and go, impress me as an L-plate driver or as a prayer. I've had lots of people talk to me as a pastor or as a friend and say, I don't know how to pray and it feels really awkward and I don't know what to do and I don't know the right words and I feel like I'm going to get it wrong. However, as a pastor, I've also had the incredible joy of sitting with people who have prayed for the first time. And sometimes that prayer has been a little bit like car park driving. It's been something like this. God, it's me. I really don't know what to say or what I'm doing here, but I think you might be there. And maybe you'll listen to me. What am I saying? I'm saying that we learn to drive by driving, we learn to talk by talking, and we learn to pray by praying. And at first, in car park prayer, and by the way, that's not, oh Lord, please let me find a car park really near to the entrance to the shopping center. Maybe everyone else has prayed that prayer too. It's that fumbling, beginning, first slow steps of prayer. We learn to pray by praying. As an L-plater, you've got to put aside time. You've got to get up the hours, Mitch. Get up the hours. How many are you on? 45, excellent. You need 120, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You've got to do it. And so if you're here today and maybe you've never prayed before or never prayed aloud or never prayed according to scripture, here we are, all are together in the car park, learning from Jesus, and he's going to be just as excited when we get to 20 kilometers an hour as we are. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you, who wants to hang out with you and spend time with you, who knows your needs and wants to give you more good things and more blessings and more relationship than you could ever imagine. So my hope and prayer is that all of us we'll learn from Jesus what it means to pray, that we have a trusted relationship with a Father who loves us more than absolutely anything. In the next few weeks, we're going to look a little bit more at being L-plate disciples and learning from Jesus. And that's really hard to read, but we're going to look at the Word of God because that's an absolutely key practice. Engaging with God's Word is key practice for us as we learn to follow Jesus. Next week, we're going to look at witness and mission, and we actually have a representative from Lutheran Church of Australia International Mission coming to speak to us about possible mission partnerships for our church. And we're going to look at daily life in the kingdom and walking with Jesus. L-plate disciples, let's learn from Jesus what it means to pray. How to be with our Heavenly Father, how to hang out with him, and know that we can do that confidently because of Jesus. We can approach God as our loving Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Jesus, you have given us the amazing gift of prayer. And particularly in that prayer, it is not a rote thing. It's not something that we need to repeat to get brownie points with God, but it's the basis of a two-way communicative relationship. Thank you that you pray as if you were us, and you invite us to pray as if we were you. Please help us to take those first tentative steps and to each grow in our prayer life and in our intimacy with God. We pray in your holy name. Amen.